This morning's reflection has no author, oddly enough, but it's titled Crucifixion, Resurrection, Ascension. Crucifixion, Resurrection, Ascension. All these were very public events at the as the first followers of Jesus began to form the community we now call the church. Busy public events are important, but public events are just that, public, on display. Other people are watching, watching not only the event itself, but also people's reaction to it. There isn't a lot of room for personal expression of thought or feeling. And with a lot of people around who may not be part of the inner circle, there's a lot of things that we just may not want to say. Now, over the last 7 weeks, the lessons have taken us through these very public events as we remember Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. This past Thursday, we celebrated Ascension. Now remember, it is always the sixth Thursday after Easter. And we await the day of Pentecost next Sunday, 50 days after Easter. Pentecost, which is the real beginning of the church's service in and to the world. These are more public events, time to be together, to share, and strengthen ourselves in the inner circle of Jesus and his disciples. These more private, quiet times that the church has between its public actions are not wasted, idle time. If we read the book of Acts straight through, we will notice the time between Ascension and Pentecost was used for the very important tasks of planning and organizing. But that isn't the only way, or even the most important way, the church spends its quiet, private time. Today's third reading also recalls a quiet, private time Jesus had with closest friends. We usually think of this reading as part of the farewell disclosure in the book of John in the New Testament at the Last Supper. But if we only think about it in the context of the Last Supper, we're cheating ourselves. There's much more to it than that. In this story, we see a small group of close friends gathering around a table for a meal to show their love and thankfulness for one another. In private, their leader, their master, their teacher, their Lord tells his followers how thankful he is for them. Their leader expresses his confidence that the disciples will be faithful in doing the work he has given them. And their leader lets them know how eager he is for all of them to be together again. They share bread, wine, conversation, and love. As this small group spends quiet, private time together, they are strengthened and encouraged and renewed for their next public event, for the service in the world. But even this quiet, private time is neither between public events nor for us alone. In this reading, Jesus reminds us that through his disciples and through us, the world will come to know God. This means that we are an important part of God's plan of love and salvation. And it is during these private times that we learn to be the bearers of God's good news through Jesus Christ. It is significant that these words take place in the context of a meal. Learning to be faithful witnesses of God's love is a lot like learning table manners. It takes place among those we know and love, and it requires constant practice until it becomes second nature. Like table manners, Christian living is practiced in a family, the family of the church. After learning how to act properly, we are ready to go out in public. And unless the manners, whether of dining with others or of living as Christ's witnesses, are made second nature, everyone else can tell that they are just a sham. Our works and actions as Christians who are also participants in a wider society, must be consistent with what we say we believe. Otherwise, the rest of the world will brand us as hypocrites, and rightfully so. In those quieter, private times, Jesus calls us, his close friends, to be with him at his table. Jesus invites us to share bread, wine, and conversation. As we come together to share this meal with the Lord, Jesus gives thanks. He gives thanks for us. The Eucharist is our great thanksgiving for Jesus and for God's work of salvation. But it is also Jesus' thanksgiving for us. Thanksgiving for the people God has given to him and through whose words and actions others will come to believe in Jesus. And Jesus also tells us that he is confident that we will do the work he has given us, that we will go forth into the world and do that work well and faithfully. Even more, at this family table, the one we call the Eucharist, is where we will learn by example and practice those manners of Christian living, which will make us credible witnesses of our Lord. Only by living the way we say we believe will we be able to do that. Now, there are many more of us gathered here this morning than there were in that scruffy bank of fishermen and tax collectors that followed Jesus around the Judean countryside so many years ago. But just like them, we still need those times. Times like this week between Ascension and Pentecost to come together as his close friends. Time to plan, time to organize, but also, and perhaps most importantly, time for us to just be with each other and with our Lord. Times to be thankful for each other's ministries, lives, and love. Time to know Jesus is thankful for us, the people whom the Father has given to him. We need to hear Jesus' words and enjoy his loving presence among us. Most of all, we need to come to the table where he has invited us to share a meal, bread, wine, conversation, and love. And here we learn how to be bearers of that nourishment, communication, and care to a hurting and confused world. The world longs for love of God in Jesus Christ. We can hardly look around us and doubt that. But if we have not practiced Christian living until it is our second nature, the world will reject our invitation to God's feast of merciful love. Today we prepare for Pentecost, the launching of the church's public life. At that first Pentecost, God's love overflowed the disciples to the point where they were able to make the message of Jesus' saving power understood by everyone. It was credible because they let God's glory and not their own shine through. When Christians, either individually or as a whole church, use their faith wisely, God's love will prevail. When we use our religion as a weapon to exclude or judge others, when Christian leaders use their positions of influence for their own gain, the message gets obscured and rejected because it is inconsistent. Even in today's so-called secular culture, most people have at least an outline of what biblical Christianity stands for. When Christians fail to live lovingly, it does not go unnoticed. We need to practice our faith in the safety of the church family, so that it becomes as natural as breathing when we go outside of our worship to proclaim the love of Christ, not only with our lips, but with our lives. In coming together at this table to share the bread and wine that Jesus offers us, all who come to this intimate gathered are strengthened and renewed. This is when our faith is strengthened. where we learn by example and practice what it means to be Christians in the world, not only for ourselves, but so we can go forth into the world to do the work he has given us to do as faithful witnesses of our Lord. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.